Picture this, you've been in the soup for the last hour. You finally get your clearance for the approach. The controller says cleared for the ILS runway 24 approach. You pull up the plate, you see the procedure turn barb, and you know the drill. Outbound, turn, inbound, intercept, land. But here's the question. When the chart says remain within 10 nm, 10 nautical miles from what? Exactly. I'm Tower. This is Atis on Radio Hangar, and today we're going deep on procedure turns because this one detail trips up instrument pilots more than almost anything else in the approach briefing. Today's program is brought to you by AviationSoul.com, aviation challenge coins built to mark the milestones, discipline, and pride behind every step in flight, from first solo to airline transport pilot. Every coin tells a story. AviationSoul.com. Let's start with the basics, because even experienced instrument pilots sometimes carry a fuzzy mental model of what a procedure turn actually is and what it's designed to do. A procedure turn is a course reversal. It's how you get turned around from the direction you arrived on so you can fly the final approach course inbound. The approach plate shows you a barb symbol. Sometimes you'll hear it called the PT barb, and that barb indicates the direction you're supposed to make your turns. It's not just a suggestion. The barb tells you which side of the course the protected airspace is built on, so you absolutely need to fly the turn in that direction. Now, the Aeronautical Information Manual, specifically Section 5-4-9, lays out the rules for procedure turns, and the rule that most pilots know is the 10 nautical mile limit. The chart says remain within 10 nm, and most pilots nod and say, okay, I won't fly forever on the outbound leg. Fair enough. But the question the Aeronautical Information Manual actually asks you to answer is 10 nautical miles from which fix? Here's where it gets interesting. The 10 nautical miles is measured from the fix from which the procedure turn is authorized. That's the language straight out of the AIM. The fix from which the procedure turn is authorized. Not the airport, not the final approach fix, not the Nevade on the field. The fix where the procedure turn begins, which is almost always the initial approach fix, sometimes called the IAF. On a lot of approaches, the IAF happens to be co-located with a Nevade that's sitting right on or near the airport. So pilots get away with fuzzy thinking for years. They assume 10 miles from the field, they stay close, and nothing bad happens. But on an approach where the IAF is several miles from the airport, or where the approach geometry is a little unusual, that assumption breaks down. Bold Method did a nice breakdown of this, and they put their finger right on the source of the confusion. The procedure turn fix is often not labeled IAF in an obvious way on the plate. You have to know what you're looking at. The fix where that PT barb originates, that's your reference point. Everything is measured from there. So let's walk through what actually happens during a procedure turn in terms of distance management. You arrive at the initial approach fix. Let's say you cross it and you're now on the outbound leg. You're flying away from the airport, climbing or descending as the plate directs, flying the outbound heading. The clock is running, or more precisely, the distance from that IAF is increasing. You need to reverse course and be established inbound before you exceed 10 nautical miles from that fix. Some pilots use timing to manage this. The rule of thumb is about 1 minute on the outbound leg, or a minute and a half if you're flying faster. But timing is just a tool. The hard limit is the 10-mile arc. Now here's the thing that the AIM also tells you. You don't have to fly the full outbound leg if you don't need it. The purpose of the outbound leg is to give you enough room to get turned around, get established on the inbound course, and be stabilized before the final approach fix. If you only need 45 seconds to do that, you can turn inbound at 45 seconds. You just can't go past 10 miles from the fix. The flip side is also true. You can fly the outbound leg as long as you need to, up to that 10-mile limit. If you're in a fast aircraft, or if you got vectored into a position where you arrived at the IAF with a lot of speed and a bad angle, you might need more room. You have up to 10 miles to work with, but here's a critical point. That 10-mile limit is not just a suggestion about how far you fly, it's the edge of the protected airspace. Outside 10 miles, terrain and obstacle clearance guarantees go away. The approach designers built protected airspace inside that arc. Outside it, you're on your own. So flying past the 10-mile limit isn't just a procedural violation. It's a potential safety issue depending on the terrain and obstacles in the area. This is the real reason the AIM is specific about the fix. If you measure from the wrong point, you might think you're inside 10 miles when you're actually outside the protected area. Let's talk about some related concepts, because procedure turns don't exist in isolation. They're part of a family of course reversal procedures that all have slightly different rules. First, there's the holding in lieu of procedure turn, which you'll see noted on charts as Hell PT. This is when the approach uses a holding pattern to accomplish the same course reversal that a procedure turn would. Instead of the PT barb, you see a holding pattern depiction. The rules for Hell PT are a little different. You fly the holding pattern, and the protected airspace is sized to that pattern. You can enter the hold however is appropriate for your direction of arrival, and you make as many turns as you need to get established for the approach. Then there's the teardrop course reversal, which is less common but worth knowing. It looks like what it sounds like on the plate. You fly outbound at an angle, then arc back around to intercept the inbound course. The distance limit still applies. And then there are approaches that have Nope T noted on them, or that show multiple routes with some labeled Nope T. If you arrive from a certain direction or on a certain routing, you may be authorized to skip the procedure turn entirely and just fly the approach straight in. This is common when approach control vectors you to the final approach course, or when you arrive from a direction where a course reversal isn't necessary. Here's an important rule that a lot of pilots don't have memorized. If you're being radar vectored, you do not fly the procedure turn unless approach control specifically tells you to. ATC is building your path to the final approach course. They're positioning you. If you suddenly break off and start flying a procedure turn when ATC has vectored you, you're going to cause problems. You might conflict with other traffic. You might leave the airspace ATC thinks you're in. The aim is clear on this when you've received radar vectors to the final approach course or when you're being vectored to an IAF from an approved course. The procedure turn is not required and should not be flown unless ATC says otherwise. If you want to fly the procedure turn for practice or because you need the extra room, you have to tell ATC, and you have to get clearance to do it. Now let's talk about something pilots sometimes get confused about. What do you do when you're not sure whether a procedure turn is required? The general rule from the AIM is that if the procedure turn is depicted on the chart and you're not on a Nope T route, you're not being radar vectored and ATC hasn't told you the procedure turn is not required, then you fly the procedure turn. It's expected. The controller expects it. The protected airspace is designed for it. You fly it. When in doubt, fly the procedure turn and tell ATC what you're doing. Approach Cessna 1729 or Alpha. I'll be flying the procedure turn. That keeps everyone informed and keeps you in the protected airspace. One more practical point on managing the outbound leg. Wind matters a lot. If you're flying a procedure turn with a strong tailwind on the outbound leg, you'll cover distance faster than you expect. Your 1 minute timing rule might put you way closer to 10 miles than you think, or might actually push you past it if the wind is strong enough. Before you ever start the outbound leg, you should have a rough sense of the wind and how it's going to affect your ground speed. Pilots flying jet aircraft or faster turboprops especially need to think about this. A turboprop doing 200 knots of ground speed on the outbound leg with a 30-knot tailwind will eat through 10 nautical miles in less than 3 minutes. You might need to slow down before the IAF, or you might need to tell ATC you can't fly a practical procedure turn and need vectors instead. The Federal Aviation Administration has guidance on this in both the AIM and in the Instrument Flying Handbook. The Instrument Flying Handbook has a good discussion of how to manage the outbound leg with wind correction, how to time turns so you roll out on course, and what techniques work for different aircraft performance categories. Speaking of aircraft categories, approach plates also note the applicable aircraft categories for timing and other parameters. Category A, B, C, and D aircraft have different speeds and different protected airspace assumptions. If you're flying a light general aviation aircraft, you're almost certainly Category A, but know your category because it affects how approaches are designed for your aircraft. Let me address a question that comes up often around procedure turns. Can you descend on the outbound leg? The answer is yes, but within limits. The plate will show you a minimum altitude for the procedure turn. That altitude is your floor until you're established inbound. You can descend to that altitude on the outbound leg, but you can't go below it until you're established on the inbound course. Some plates also show specific altitudes at specific fixes, and you need to cross those fixes at or above those altitudes. Once you turn inbound and you're established on the approach course, you can continue descending as the approach allows, but on the outbound leg, respect that procedure turn altitude. Now, a brief word on why all of this matters beyond just passing your instrument check ride. Instrument approaches are designed with precision. The protected airspace, the altitudes, the distances, the timing, all of it comes together to get you from the en route environment down to a point where you can either see the runway or execute the missed approach safely. When one piece of that system breaks down, the margin disappears. The FAA accident record has examples of controlled flight into terrain on approaches where pilots descended below minimums, where pilots turned the wrong direction in a procedure turn, where pilots flew past the protected airspace. These aren't events that happen because of mechanical failure, they happen because of procedural misunderstanding. Knowing that the 10 nautical miles is from the procedure turn fix, not from the airport, is exactly the kind of detail that keeps you inside the system that's designed to protect you. Before we close, one more practical tip. Before every instrument approach, brief the procedure turn specifically. Not just I'll fly the PT, brief it like this. I'll cross the IAF at 5,000 feet. I'll fly outbound on the 270 heading for 1 minute or until I need to turn, not exceeding 10 miles from the IAF. I'll turn left to intercept the 090 inbound. I'll be at 3,000 feet by the time I reach the final approach fix. That level of briefing forces you to actually think through the geometry. And it means that when you're in the soup, hand-flying, trying to manage the aircraft and the radio, you already know what's supposed to happen. You're executing a plan, not improvising. Bold Method has the full write-up on this at boldmethod.com, and the Aeronautical Information Manual Section 5-4-9 is your primary reference. This is exactly the kind of topic that rewards rereading the AAM, because the language is precise and the details matter. Thanks for listening. More at RadioHangar.com. Stay inside the arc.